Blog Talk Radio.
reflecting the light of the sun. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. That song, oh my God, I'm in Orange Moon. I'm in Orange Moon. It takes me back to the time when I was getting ready to go on Steve Harvey's show. I was super excited until the day it was time to go on there. And wow, I woke up with profuse tears and feeling so unworthy and so not enough, and oh my God, it was just terrible. I just couldn't even get no understanding for who it was. It was just amazing. And I remember my spiritual mother called and said, "Go to my daughter and get your hair done." And my spiritual sister called and said, "Go to the makeup artist. She has a friend that's a makeup celebrity artist." And so I called and got my hair done. I was sitting in a chair, and oh my God, I was crying profusely while she was doing my hair. And she had an iPod. It wasn't no one in the beauty salon but her and I, because it was closed that day. And I'll never forget sitting in that chair crying, and how the music was selected through the iPod. It was just, and she said to me, "I don't know why the songs are playing what they're playing." So this song came on, Orange Moon. I'm in Orange Moon, reflecting the light. And then she said, "He looked at me. He looked at me, and he saw his reflection in me. And my spirit began to speak to me, and it began to say, 'Why are you crying? Every time I see you, I see me. You are my reflection.'" And then as soon as that song went off and God was ministering in my ear, I heard Donna Lawrence come on and say, "I know you woke up not feeling good enough. I know you said to yourself all this stuff that I had said to myself this morning." Oh, my God. And it was, then I started crying even more profusely. Oh, thank you, God. And I just could not stop crying. I tell you, it was so crazy. And so then I called the makeup artist. She said, "Come on and bring your beautiful face so I could fix it up, so I could enhance it," whatever he said. He said something about my beautiful face. And then I started crying. "Oh, I'm not beautiful enough. I'm not this enough." It was just terrible, I'm telling you. But every time I hear that song, I think about how God ministered to my heart. He said, "You are mine. And every time I see you, I see my reflection. So why are you letting this mind talk, this mind chatter, tell you something that's untrue of you?" I just changed. It really did change my life. To really think that the Creator sees only itself when it sees us was such a powerful aha moment. What was even more powerful for me in that moment was, could I look at myself and see God? Could I look in the mirror and truly see my own magnificence, my own eternal loving presence, known as the Creator? That was the aha moment for me. All right, we're going to get ready to turn within, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. And even though this great spirit is known by many names, on this line, we recognize this great spirit is God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, and knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. And so as I move into my heart, as I ask you to move into your heart this morning, I ask you to just simply say thank you. Sometimes the only powerful prayer that we can say sometimes is simply just say thank you, God. From a heartfelt space, from the depth of your soul. Thank you, God. As we begin to center our mind on our breath, recognizing there is power in the breath. You see, the breath helps us to remember and own our own power. So as you breathe in, I want you to just amplify the feeling of gratitude. Just simply saying, thank you, God. Being a simple knowing, thank you, God. I want you to just sit still and become still. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And in this right now moment, I want you to take in a breath through your nose, holding it to the point of vibration, holding it to the count of eight, and releasing through your nose. I want you to breathe fast. Because sometimes we forget to breathe fast. You see, in the pain, in the struggle, sometimes we hold on to the breath. I want you to breathe fast. Just simply breathe. Together, be still and know that I am God. Breathe fast. And release. Be still and know that I am God. Take in another breath. Breathe, honey. Be still, family. Be still and know that I am, God. Breathe, family. There's power in the breath, and every breath you take, feel the amplification of gratitude, just simple gratitude. Just simply thank you for all the abundance we have, all the abundance we will receive, all the abundance we will experience. Just simply say, thank you, God, as you breathe in this right now moment, just breathe. Be still and know that I am, God. I want you to breathe. And release. And last but not least, be still and know that I am God. Breathe, family. There's power in the breath. Breathe. And release. Divine Mother, Father, God. Precious and Holy Spirit, I come today speaking from the transcending power of my God, Goddess consciousness, from my higher mind self. I ask you to speak to our minds today, God. I ask you to speak to our hearts today, God. Speak to our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit. as we center our hearts in this manifestation month of March, to truly manifest more of our goodness through the presence of the eternal loving God. Understanding our higher mind presence. Allowing the higher mind to direct and to lead and to guide as we hear the prayer of Mother.
Day 10, a prayer of forgiveness. I forgive myself for judging my relationship with money. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every cell, every atom, every molecule, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, wealth, and abundance, bringing it into alignment with the perfect will of God. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every atom, every molecule, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, bringing it into alignment with the perfect peace of God. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every atom, every molecule, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, bringing it into perfect alignment with the perfect love of God. For this I am so grateful, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself for judging my relationship with money. Gratitude Meditation. This guided meditation is offered to support you in creating the experience of gratitude within your mind and body. Gratitude is the quality or feeling of being grateful or thankful. It is an expression of deep appreciation within yourself that is extended outward. In order to receive the full benefit of this meditative experience, it is recommended that you listen during a time and in a place where you will not be disturbed for 5 to 7 minutes. As you take a long, deep inhale, focus your attention and your energy right in the center of your chest, the center of love within your being, and breathe into the center of your chest, holding the thought form, I am so grateful. And exhale that breath. Again, breathing directly into the center of your chest, I am so grateful. and allow that breath to be released. And see, feel, imagine, intended to be so, that someone you love unconditionally and someone you know loves you unconditionally is standing right before them. See them with your mind's eye. If you can't see them, feel their presence. And if you can't feel their presence, just imagine that they're there, or set an intention that this person that I love unconditionally, who loves me unconditionally, is standing right before me, eye to eye, heart to heart, soul to soul. And as if you could speak directly into their heart and into their being, simply say, "Thank you. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for your love. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to love you. I'm so grateful." And take a long, deep inhale. And exhale. And allow the feeling, the experience, the expression of gratitude to fill your being from the soles of your feet to the top of your head. Allow it to radiate and vibrate within you as you hold a thought form. I am so grateful.
So grateful.
Grateful. Grateful I am. I am grateful for this moment, this life, this time, this experience. Just breathing gratitude. Long, deep inhale. I am so grateful. Slow, complete exhale. Grateful. I am. Again, a long, deep inhale. I am so grateful. And a slow, complete exhale. Grateful I am. And breathe. And experience the radiance of gratitude. And bring your awareness to the gentle ebb and flow of your breath. And together we take a long, deep inhale in and drop it with the sound of again, a long, deep inhale and drop it. And wiggle your toes and your fingers, and give your body a big stretch, allowing the energy to be balanced and reintegrated at all levels of your being. And whenever you're ready, you may open your eyes and focus on something in the room as you take a long, deep inhale and drop it. And allow yourself to just bask in the radiance of gratitude. And as you move into your day, be sure to do something good for you. And be blessed.
Wow. Thank you, God. I had a vision of the sunrise service. And I remember the first time I did this gratitude meditation right here at the sunrise service before we did the balloon release. And I could just, the balloon release, and I could see the sun and I could see the sky formation. You know what's interesting about the sunrise service is every year the sky, it's just an amazing things that are happening in the sky. Some of the pictures look like the clouds look like angel wings, or sometimes it looked like the sky form made it in, the clouds form made it into a cross, or sometimes how the sun would peek through the clouds and or rainbows appear. It's just every year it's a different piece of art that's the backdrop of our, but if you ever pay attention, it's just absolutely stunningly beautiful. It's so amazing, and I just felt so much love and gratitude in my heart right then. And I remember thinking, standing there when I first initially started implementing the different meditations in the morning and at sunrise, I remember when we started this prayer line and we began to transform into the mission of what my goal was, to educate people about love. And I remember telling my girlfriend about really beginning to understand the heart and how magnetic it was, and how my grandmother had came to me in my sleep one night, and her saying, "It's not an ill that love can't feel. Ill that love can't feel. There's not an ill love can't heal. There's not a prescription love can't fill. There's not a question that love can't answer." I remember when the Spirit had started transforming me into really sharing with us that love is the most important, potent, powerful, energetic expression, the most healing, transforming presence on the planet. And I remember my girlfriend laughing at me about it, and being, you know, because we only understood the foo-foo part of love. And I remember a lot of people thinking, oh, this is crazy. And so when we started doing the love soak, we lost a lot of people on the call because it didn't feel right. It didn't feel good to people to look in the mirror and actually say to themselves that I love myself. It didn't feel right to a lot of people to look into them eyes and acknowledge their own greatness, because it felt blasphemous to some people to actually recognize the beauty in their own magnificence. To now to see so many people really coming to understand the real healing presence on the planet is for us to recognize our own magnificence, to really truly honor the greatness that we are as a people. You see, the story I told you about the day I was going on Steve Harvey and that song Orange Moon came in, it really led me to understand that God only sees God when God looks at us. The Creator only sees the Creator. The Goddess only sees the Goddess. And however we name this beautiful, eternal, loving presence, it only sees itself. But the question is, can I really look in the face of myself and see the presence of God? Could I really? That was the job that I had to learn to do. Because remember when I told you the story earlier, I woke up in a profuse sadness. Why? Should have been one of the greatest days of my life. I'm about to go on the Steve Harvey show. I'm about to express what God has given me to share with the world and who I am. And I cried. Why? For some reason, there was something inside of me, some residual that was saying, you aren't good enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not this enough. But why? Because I had allowed the world mind to express and condition my own belief systems about myself from my childhood, over the years, over the teasing, over the criticalness, and became a product of that energy. And so I had to release all of that, release all of the junk and the veils that clouded my judgment and knowing. And so today, I'm so grateful I'm not where I want to be, but I'm so grateful. So grateful for this opportunity to use this platform. So that this platform can be a platform to share our stories, to share our soul, to share the journey. So I'm just so grateful. Because as much as people say, girl, I've learned so much from the love journey, I cannot even imagine where I would be if it weren't for the love journey. And what I've experienced and learned and grew from just being here present. And so when I think about the most powerful work on the planet, again, there's no more powerful work than the work of loving ourselves. Loving, honoring, and recognizing our own magnificence. Because then, as you begin to own your own magnificence, you begin to stand in your own power. You begin to stand in your knowing when everybody else can't see or believe in what it is that you're doing. You know without a shadow of a doubt that you are the mind of God in expression. And this idea, this knowledge that you have been given to share in whatever capacity you've been given to share, you're going to do it because nobody else has to believe in it but you. But the more you begin to know and own your own magnificence, you don't need anybody else to believe it. You begin to really own that the source that created you out of itself in order to express itself through you is the mind in action. Because you are the God mind in action. You are the intelligent vehicle of great ideas that is being used through you. Therefore, you will recognize yourself as the mind of God in action, infinite mind of intelligence, wisdom, and knowledge, knowing that every idea and everything that is ever required is already within your consciousness. And you don't need anybody to agree with what God has already told you. You see, love helped me own my own magnificence and unapologetically, not even with 1 ounce of fear, say it, own it, passionately feel it. And when you drop down in consciousness and make some missteps in your life, you don't beat yourself up. You just laugh and say, girl, well, this is a part of the journey, and you keep it moving, and you own your own stuff. I tell you, this is a powerful work. And as we move into this mirror work today, we haven't gone over this particular exercise. And this is the exercise where we teach mirror work to our children. You see, children also face the stresses of life. Today we learn how to practice mirror work with little ones, and you watch the miracles happen. Of course, you know we're at the end of the book pretty much, and we've done a great job. I applaud your commitment and dedication. I applaud the fact that you even decided to practice this mirror work every day. Every day you practice your mirror work, you're giving yourself the gift of love. Every day that you practice your mirror work, you are giving yourself the gift of love. And every day you practice your mirror work, you are letting go of old negative beliefs that you've been carrying around for so long. Oh, my God. Where did these negative beliefs come from? We picked them up as children. You see, the reason why I didn't feel good enough is because I heard negative things about myself growing up. Oh, you're too light. Oh, your nose too big. Oh, everything that I our peers, our children, our friends tell us, or things that you may hear even adults say about you. We pick them up. We absorb every word that was said to us, and the more we hear our parents or other people say negative things about us, the more we believe them. I often ask myself, why would parents, why would adults, why would people say to children things that are unaffirming in terms of their greatness? You see, growing up, we often call one another cruel and hurtful names and belittle one another. But why did we do this? Where did we learn this behavior? Many of us were told by our parents, our teacher, that we were stupid, we were dumb, we were lazy, that we were troublemakers, or not even good enough. Maybe we cringed when we heard these statements, but we believed them. Little did we realize how much these beliefs hurt or how deeply embedded our pain and shame will become. I was talking to my girlfriend. She has the most beautiful, amazing body, and she is always, she hate her hips, she hate her butt, she hate her, and people buy, but she trying to hate, and I'm like, wow, how could she hate her body, I think to myself. But then when I went to bed last night, when she was telling her story, and after she left and I went to bed, I began to think about what maybe happened to her. Maybe her body was the object of sexual blah, blah, blah. Maybe somebody said this to her, and that's why she hated her body. Because when I tell you she shut the game down, she shut it down. It's a billion-dollar industry for what she already has naturally. How can we hate ourselves so much? I was not taught in school that my choice of words would have an effect on my life. No one taught me that my words were creative and that they could literally shape my destiny, or that what I gave out verbally will return to me as a life experience. You see, no one ever taught me that I was worth loving. Let me say that again, family. I stopped by to remind you that no one probably ever told you that you were worth loving, or that you deserve to have the good things happen to you. You see, certainly nobody taught us that life was here to support us. Matter of fact, I remember my mother used to tell me when people would call me names and I'd run in the house crying, and I didn't really want to be out there anyway. I would rather be in the house reading a book, but she made me go outside. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but names don't. What she said, sticks and stones may break your bones, but names would never hurt you, something like that. And I thought to myself, that's the just craziest thing I ever heard. Because I'm crying right now because these things hurt. I'm like, how could this not hurt? And it does hurt when people call you things that is not nice as a kid. You don't know how not to be hurt by that. And in some respect, we don't even know how not to be hurt as an adult. We may hide the pain. We may not say anything about it. Until I heal the big portion of my pain, when people made references to things that I didn't like about myself, it was a sore spot for me. Oh, my God, I cannot tell you the anguish, the rage, the pain. And I remember when just recently somebody had made reference to one of the things that was my sore spot, and I did not react inside. Oh my God, I was super excited about it. I went to sleep smiling because I really understood that I'm starting to heal those spaces and crevices inside myself that once caused me to feel that pain. You see, when we can change all that for our children right now, we can change all of that for our children. One of the most important things we can do for them is to remind them of the basic truth that they are invaluable. They are lovable. And our role as adults, as parents, is not to be perfect, not to get everything right, but to be loving and kind. You see, I have to say today, children today have a lot more issues to deal with than we did when we were their age. was a scene in the movie Moonlight. And I know a lot of people didn't get it, but I profusely, my tears were so profuse in this particular scene because I think when I sit on these boards, and I love the people who have a good heart and want to shift the violence in our community and think that jobs is going to change what the violent process is happening. And I say to myself, when I see these drive-by shootings, not one person stole a wallet. Not one person drive-by shot stole anything. And most of the violence is not about acquiring anything. So what is a job going to do to stop the bullets? I don't get it. I cannot equate these kids to the bullets getting a job. Because there's something that needs to happen before they get a job. And I just don't think people really get it. Because they're blaming the kids for where they are. When I saw this scene, this young boy, the leading role character, his name is Chiron in the movie, in Moonlight, he gets beat up by four other young men, and they're stumping him and beating him and all kinds of stuff on the school ground. So when the scene comes back, he's all bloodied up, beat up, and he's sitting in the principal's office, and the principal is fussing because she wants him to reveal who were the four kids that stumped him and beat him the way they did. But he was crying, and he was saying, "You don't get it." And she was looking at him like, "You think you're the only kid that ever been beat up?" And I was thinking to myself, she don't get it. And he was like, "You just don't get it." And he was crying, and he said, and I was saying to myself, she don't get it. And I think that's what the problem is, adults don't get it. It was more than just those kids who beat him up that was causing him pain. He really didn't care about the physical bruises and bumps that he just got. The pain was inflicted on the fact that every time he come to school, he hungry because his mother hooked on drugs. And every time he go home, his mother is not there, or she's not available, or she's, and he was living trying to figure out how to survive every day. So that pain that was inflicted by those kids didn't mean a thing to him because she didn't get it. You're so concerned about these four kids that beat me up, but what about myself? What about my heart? What about the fact that nobody ever looks at me and tell me I could be amazing? What about the fact that nobody understands that when I go home, I can't eat? I had to figure out how to survive at 10 years old. How about the fact that nobody is home waiting on me to ask me how my day was? And all you can care about is these four kids who stumped me. They didn't get it. People don't get it. And so when I was looking, and I'm sitting on these boards, and I try to get, so talking to a group. They wanted me to sit on the board yesterday about this initiative that they creating called Gangbanging to Business Owners. And they were super excited about it, and I was listening to them because this is a great idea. They're going to take the kids off the street, and they're going to teach them entrepreneurship. Oh, wow. You're going to stop these young men from shooting and these young girls from fighting and shooting and teach them a business. Oh, that's super exciting. And it is super exciting. And it is super exciting that we have a heart for these young people to want to change. But the piece that's missing is the piece that's going to get them that pride, the pride to want to own the business, the pride to want to go to work, the pride to want to create avenues and shift their mindset. But if I had to get up every day, you see, I can identify. I had a drug addict mother. I had to get up every day and figure out how to eat. I remember I had to find 50 cents just to go to the corner store to buy a bag of fries. And sometimes I couldn't do that, so I stole out the grocery store. Yes, Janine, I stole food out the grocery store because I was hungry. And if anybody had to say it to me, "I'm going to teach you how to own a business," at that time, I wouldn't have been able to receive it. Because I was so full of anger. I was so full of rage that I couldn't receive love. I couldn't receive help. I couldn't receive what it is that anybody wanted to give me because I was still hurting. So there's something that has to happen in between this point and the point that you want to give me a job. Because what about the fact that I may not have clothes to wear to a job? And what about the fact that I don't look good? You know, there's many times I missed opportunities because I felt like, well, I don't got nothing to wear. Oh, my hair all over my head is matty. I can't, you know, they want me to go do this, but I can't. And the conversations I was having with myself because of missed opportunity, simply because I didn't feel good enough. You know, some, you want to give a job to somebody who probably can't even read and too embarrassed to let you know they can't read. These bullets is not a sign of needing money or needing a job. The bullets is a sign of I'm frustrated. It's a sign of no one hears me. It's a voice of rage. Nobody sees me. I'm not important to anybody. Ooh, I'm on a soapbox saying that. Children today have a lot more issues to deal with than we did when we were their age. They are steadily barraged with news about the critical state of the world and how continually having to make complex choices. How children handle these challenges is a direct reflection of how they truly feel about themselves. How children handle the challenges is a direct reflection of how they truly feel about themselves. You see, every time a bullet is shot, it lets you know how I feel about myself. I shoot because I have no care for life. I shoot because I don't care about myself and I don't care about you. But most importantly, I'm disconnected from myself. I remember when we were in the prison talking to young girls who had went to prison. I remember one girl who was in there for life for murder. And the question was asked to her, how do you feel about the fact that you murdered so many people? And she said, you know, when you're disconnected from yourself, it's easy to murder. And I thought it was a profound statement. You see, it's easy for me to hurt you and do things to you when I have no connection to myself, when I'm not present to myself. And the more I kill and shoot, the less connected I am to myself, the easier it is for me to do it. She said, when I got present to myself, I began to feel the remorse. I thought, wow. Can you imagine coming home to a drug addict? Parents, one in jail maybe. You got to figure out how to eat. I was working out in Augel Gardens. I had four offices. I was running for Chicago Housing Authority. And I get a call to come out to Augel Gardens, cut by one of my managers. He couldn't handle the situation. The social worker came and told me that her, and she was the social worker that I had hired from the community. Her mother was being put out because her mother was a drug addict. And I had such a compassion for her and what she was doing, the reason I hired her. And she was crying because now her mother was getting put out. Her mother was a drug addict. I said, I'm going to help your mother stay in the apartment, but what happened? Why are they putting her out? Her mother had allowed one of her friends to stay, and they was using drugs. The mother decided that they, when they ran out of money to sell, to exchange her child for the drugs, and the drug dealer used the baby. Now, the baby only 8, 9 years old, a young boy, in a way that was abusive and abused his body, physically thrusting himself into the body of this young baby. And the baby was bleeding from his anus. So they was kicking the mother out because in housing, when you are subsidized housing, you cannot commit any crimes, and no crimes can be committed in your space. So that's an automatic put out. I said, let me get this straight. So I think about that young boy often. Now, I was able to keep her mother in the home. I end up sending her mother to rehab. I end up getting the baby taken from the other mother. And I end up being very being an advocate, going to court, doing all kinds of stuff, and I'm not even a part of DCFF, but I wouldn't let them put that challenge just in anybody's hands. But I tell you, you ask, why these bullets? See, we don't understand the backdrop. We don't understand the backstory. And then we get angry and say, these kids are disrespectful. We mad because the kids are doing this, and we fuss about the kids. But my grandmother used to always say, it ain't in the fruit, baby. It's in the root. We want to heal these children. We want to heal our land. We got to understand the backdrop. We got to understand the root. I've seen it. I've been there. I was a part of the process. I was a part of the system. You want me to be a part of your program, and then when I try to explain to you, you want to take these kids from here to here, but you don't understand the backdrop. Why do we have all these people who want to heal the land, and not one of them ever been through any of the stuff that these kids are going through? And then when I say, if you want to heal and change the climate and the culture of our community, let's bring the kids in and ask them what's going on. What can we do to serve you? How can we help you? Instead of figuring out what we think they need, why don't you let them tell us what they need, how they want to be supported? But if you have children in your life right now, any grandchildren, this knowledge about the mirror work, I keep getting away from the mirror work. I apologize. It's important that we instill in our children a sense of independence. It's a sense of power and knowledge that they can make a difference in today's world. You see, family, you may have raised your children. You may have done a darn good job. But you got to know that your neighbor's children are your children. All the children are our children. And we see these babies, we got to begin to learn to reaffirm them again. Now, I suggest that any children in your presence, your grandchildren or your own children, that we instill this and teach them. But we got to do it to all the children. Anybody's children. It's important that we instill in the children a sense of independence and power and the knowledge that they can make a difference in today's world. Above all, it's important to teach them to love who they are and to know they are good enough no matter what. You see, young people are looking up to us and listening to every word we say. It's time for us to be a shining example of positive statements and affirmations. And when you begin to believe them, so will your children, and so will the children that you begin to affirm. We got to nurture the children in your life, just as you were learning to nurture yourself. Remember, nobody has the perfect child or the parent. We are bound to make choices that are always not always seemingly the best at one time or another. And that's simply part of learning and growing in the journey process. What is important is to love our children unconditionally. And most important is to love ourselves and be an example of loving ourselves unconditionally. And then watch the miracles happen for your children as well as for yourself and those that you affirm. Today's affirmation is, I can be what I want to be. I can do what I want to do. All life supports me. And as we move through that mirror work today, start by doing our own mirror work. And then as we take our children to school today, or as we see them come home today, we can have them look in the mirror and say, I love you. I love you. I love everything about you. I am great. I am beautiful. I have beautiful hair. I can dance. I can move. I can sing. I can do all that I am in all good ways. Whatever comes to your mind, teach the baby. Teach the babies to own their greatness. And schedule a time every day to do mirror work with your children, even if it's only for a few minutes in the morning. This is powerful work, family. So let's do our mirror work real quick. We're at the top of the hour. And let's begin to look in our own eyes. Let's begin to own our own greatness. And if you're new to our phone, we're using the book, 21 Days to Heal Your Life. It's a mirror work. It's by Louise Hay, a free PDF. And as you look in the mirror, I want you to drop from your head into your heart. And I want you to say, I love you. I love you. I love you. Begin to really love the very essence of who you are. Look deep into the soul of your eyes. I said your name. Say your name. I want to know your name. And I want you to say, good morning, love. Good morning, love. I waited all night long just to say good morning to you. And just say, I love you. I simply love you. And I want you to just say, thank you. Say your name. Thank you, Janine, for the opportunity to love you today. I want you to love you and just say, I love everything about you. And I want you to say to yourself, I am beautiful. I am the walking embodiment of God's love. I just want you to love you. I love you. I really, really, really love you. I say that again. Janine, I love you. I really, really, really love you. And just own that for a minute. Just really own that you love the gift that you are to the planet, because you are the gift to the planet. You are the walking embodiment of what love is, and the world would not be the same if it didn't have you in it. Just love you today. Simply love you. Our journaling exercise is to read a story from a book called The Adventures of Lulu. And they say you can access it by visiting www.louisehay.com/learning-mirror-work. And if you pull down the book, you can just hit the link. If you don't know the book is Mirror Work, 21 Days to Heal Your Life. It's by Louise Hay. Just have drawing paper today, color pencils, color markers, crayons, and glue ready, and ask your child to draw a magic mirror to go to, just as Lulu does in the book. Encourage the child to decorate the mirror. Glue pretty pictures around it. Add glitter and sparkles to the frame and cover it in a riot of color. I love this exercise because I do this with my children when I go into the different daycares, and we do mirror work. I teach them mirror work, but I also have them create these beautiful mirrors. But I did it for my sister group one day, and one girl did a beautiful job. She had this African fabric, and she put shells on hers, and it was just one of the most beautiful mirrors I saw. I think we should do that as a love journey exercise when we get together on the weekend as the sunrise service. Maybe we'll do creating our own magic mirror. I think that's a fun exercise as an adult as well. With your child, take turns looking in the magic mirror and saying wonderful things about yourself. Write down the positive statements you and your child say so you can repeat them when you do your mirror morning work together. Our heart thought for today is I communicate openly with my children. You see, I communicate openly with my children. It is vitally important to keep the lines of communication open with children, especially during the teen years. So often children are told things like, don't say that, don't do that, don't feel that, don't be that way, don't express that, when all they hear is don't. We shut them down and they stop communicating. And then when the children are older, parents complain, my children never call me. Why don't they call? Because the lines of communication have been cut. That's why. When you are open with your children using positive statements like, it's okay to feel sad, and you can talk to me about it, and you encourage them to share their feelings, the lines of communications will be restored. Restored, restored. So today's meditation, I hope you get a chance to do it tonight. Place a hand over your heart and close your eyes. and allow yourself not only to see your inner child, but also to be that inner child. And then have this read to you. You can either read it into a audio on your phone. You can imagine you are hearing your parents tell you, "We are so glad you came. We've been waiting for you. We wanted you so much to be a part of our family. You're so important to us. You see, the family wouldn't be the same without you. We love you. We want to hold you. We want to help you grow to be all you can be. You don't have to be like us. You can be your absolute magnificent self. You see, we love your uniqueness. You're so beautiful and you're so bright. You're so creative. It's such a pleasure to have you here on the planet. We thank you for choosing us as your family. We know you're blessed. You have blessed us by coming. We love you. We really, really love you." Let your little child make these words true for you. Be aware that every day you can look in the mirror and say these words. You can tell yourself all the things you wanted your parents to tell you. You see, your little girl and your little boy needs to hear and feel wanted and loved. Give that to your inner child. No matter how old you are or how sick or scared the little child within you is, it needs to be wanted. It needs to be loved. And keep telling your inner child, "I want you. I want you and I love you. It is the truth for you. The universe wants you here, and that's why you are here. You've always been loved and always will be loved throughout eternity. You can live happily ever after." So it is. I promise y'all, this was not my message today. But I promise you, it was so needed. And I don't know, it made my heart feel good to share and have this conversation this morning. So thank you for allowing me to remind you to go in there and talk to the little girl and the little boy in you, but to also heal the children that are around you right now by reminding them and affirming their own greatness. And the more we can bring the children into the fold of understanding and learning and staying open and awake, then we will see the climate and the culture of our communities to change. People ask me all the time, what's the answer to the violence? It's a multidimensional healing. We got to take the kids, the children that are already here right now that are still young, and we have to start teaching them. We got to change the curriculum in the CPS schools. We need to teach our teachers how to teach for what is going on with the times and the communities that they serve. And then we need to bring in the fold the seniors that don't have and would like to be a part, and create opportunities for when children do not have parents to go home to, but maybe they can have a kids' cafe that when children get out of school, they can go to a table that's specifically there, and they have identified a senior who would say, "How was your day?" And they create a dinner atmosphere, feed the children, and then do homework with the children and create a recreation of what it would feel like to come home and eat dinner with a family. And not have to figure out how to eat. We got to ask these kids the backstory. And as teachers and mandators in the school system, they should know when a kid comes in school half-dressed, mouth white, that something else is going on. So to me, that's the answer. It's a multidimensional thing. It's more than just jobs. So if you have an opportunity to change a child's life today, please do so. Even if it's your own child, your own grandchild, your neighbor's child, or somebody else's child that you don't even know, it's still your child. And if the only difference you can make is in your own inner child today, My call to action is to do it. Family, we can't be hearers of the word. We got to be doers of the word. And we need each and every one of you to show up in your gifts and to share your gifts with the planet in whatever capacity you've been called to do it. And don't think that the simple acts are not the most powerful acts. That sometimes just looking in a child that might be walking down the street and to remind them that they're beautiful and that they're amazing and that they can be all they can probably be the simple act of changing one child's life. Because one day they might look in and remember the mirror and remember. I tell you, when I started doing my mirror work, I remember standing up against the gate. I was about 12 years old, and I had never in my life heard that I was pretty or beautiful. And I remember this guy. I couldn't tell you his name, don't know nothing about him. And he walked up to me, and he wasn't flirting. He was an older guy. He was a man. I was a young girl, and he said, "Wow, you are so beautiful." I was like, I looked around. I was like, he talking to me? He said, "You are so beautiful." He said, "You got any older sisters? Your mama's single?" He said, "You're so beautiful." He said, "You're going to grow up to be an amazing, beautiful woman." And I couldn't believe somebody thought that about me. But you better believe it shifted and changed my little girl self in that little moment. I'll never forget. I remember what I had on my head. I remember the smile. I remember how I felt like, wow, he said I'm beautiful. And that man does not know to this day how that changed my life. That one little statement he said, he was walking down the street on 71st Street. He said to me, "You're going to grow up and be beautiful. You are so pretty." Now, interesting enough, in one of my foster care homes, me and the other girl who was living in the foster, she was the lady's granddaughter. We were sitting in the shoe store for Easter, and these two men were sitting in the, it was like, I don't know if people remember in Robert Hall's, we were sitting around and they had almost a half square circle, and we were in the middle trying on shoes, and she was a dark skinned little girl, and I was a light skinned little girl. Of course, everybody knows that, right? And these two guys were saying, "Look how much more beautiful the dark skinned girl is over that little light skinned girl." I was like, "Wow!" And I heard that conversation, and it made me feel sad because I felt like, "Oh, I'm not beautiful because I'm not dark enough. I'm not beautiful because of whatever." And it was interesting because I grew up with that thought process. I was only about 7 years old when these two guys were sitting in the chair comparing us. And she is a beautiful girl. She was a beautiful little girl, too. She was always pretty, and she even grew up to be pretty. Kind of put you in the mind of Rudy when Rudy was a little girl on a Cosby Show. She was that kind. She had long, thick, beautiful hair, beautiful chocolate skin. She was a beautiful little girl. But as adults, we have to be careful what we say. You never know who hears what you're saying and how that would affect the rest of their life. So I said that to say, I guess today is this message is really about healing the little girl and the little boy inside of us, but also teaching the children in our space, in any space that we come close to, their own magnificence by teaching them the mirror work. And that's my message. Anybody got any comments, concerns? I guess I didn't get to say what I wanted to say today, but I truly enjoyed being in the presence of you today. And I want to remind you that you are magnificent just the way you are. Any questions, comments, or concerns, just *6. If you're on the teleconference line, if you're on Blog Talk and you'd like to share something, push the number 1. And let me know that you want to share. I know I probably went somewhere today. I want you all to know. I know I did. All right, family. I want to remind you, this month of March is totally about manifesting. We got a great lineup of beautiful people that will be coming to the line this month, and it's going to be all about manifesting, 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 because we are creators. But you know what keeps us from creating a lot of times the things we want in our life is the veil, stuff that's not true, the unworthiness, the things that tell us stuff that's not true about ourselves. So today, family, that's why it's a good thing that we started off with this mirror exercise today and really begin to affirm our greatness, because as creators, we can create the life we want. We're going to have people come on and talk about. So last night I was in a wealth creation. I co-hosted an event with two millionaires coming in into Blueprint about their millionaire process. And they talked about a product that they're going to come on and talk about that every millionaire uses. And we're going to have them on the line. And we're going to talk about the steps, the process, and what, how to begin to really honor our relationship with money, how to begin to or continue our relationship with money and expand our consciousness. It's not about how much you make, but what is it that you're doing to let your money make money. We're going to even talk about that, family. We'll have a great month of March, and I'm super excited about manifesting, manifesting, manifesting. We're also going to talk about an invitation to be a part of an investment group, And I'm super excited about the ideas that they're putting together for this investment group so that we can learn about how to pool our funds together to get a bigger share of the pie. So we're going to have some great conversations. You know, nothing is etched in stone. Nobody has to do nothing they don't want to do. Everything will be in the investment will be done by attorneys and lawyers, and I'm super excited about that. I'm super excited about us changing the climate and culture of us owning our own presence, but also owning our relationship to money. So that's what March is going to be about. And if you have any questions, comments, or anything that you want to add or know that you want to add that should be added, feel free to contact me in any way you want. You can email me, Facebook me, text message me, whatever. And let me know anything that you may want to add. You might be a financial planner. You might know someone that might have some good information. Or you might be a money coach, or you know somebody who is. And the book that we're going to be reading next, I'm thinking we're going to do The Master, Money, The Master, The Game by Tony Robbins. I reached out to his people, and they're talking about we're going to get some dates, and we're going to even bring this beautiful man, Tony Robbins, onto the line for March. And we're going to talk, and he's going to talk about the seven simple steps to financial freedom. And so I'm super excited about that. So, again, if you have any relationships with anybody that you think could be pertinent to our what we're talking about this month, please feel free to let me know. All right. Nobody is on Blog Talk that want to come in? All right, family, we're going to get out of here. Reminding you that your life is a gift from God. And what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is a choice, family. Remember to dream and live your God-sized dreams. And today I'm going to remind you. Dude, I want to play this poem. I know I played it before, but it's just been on my mind. Doubt your doubts before you doubt God. Doubt your doubts before you doubt God. And as I remind you that your life is a gift, remember, what you do is a gift back, and I want you to choose love, and I want you to remind you that your dreams, don't just dream them, but live them. And then we're going to play Erykah Badu, I'm in Orange Moon, family. Doubt your doubts before you doubt God. Powerful poem by Solomon.
I remember my little niece ran up to me and told me, "We learned about Jesus today." And I could tell by her smile she was so excited to learn about this man that she did not quite know yet, but she knew without a doubt for it to be true, because after all, Mommy said so. And that was the first time in my life that I looked into the eyes of a child and envied them, because she had no idea of what it feels like to doubt. what it feels like to have your entire belief system overload with skepticism, to never know the day that you would finally be able to live beyond the shadow of a doubt. I've lived in its darkness for so long, it seems like I have all the right questions, but never enough answers, and my faith is small enough to fit in the cracks of my palms. God, every night I lay my head down to sleep, the city of my mind is attacked by a legion of questions threatening the living rooms of my sanity and holding them hostage. Can you help me? Last year, my grandmother laid in a hospital bed like a bus stop waiting for God to come pick her up. I had never seen such pain and such confidence living in the same eyes when she told me, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know who I belong to. And I was so happy for her. And something inside of me wished that somehow before she passed away, she could pass down her confidence in God to me like an old family picture. I remember sitting in the back row of a cold sanctuary, crying, because I desperately wanted what the preacher was saying to be true, but my doubts were preaching a sermon of their own, and the streams of my tears turned into oceans of frustration. I remember sitting in a college classroom, and the only thing being tested is my faith in God. The only thing passing is my hope. Me, in a backpack full of fear, nowhere to go, no one to help me unpack. I sleep, but I never rest. These lines around my eyes are not wrinkles, they are maps that show you the winding roads that lead to my pain. I'm tired. And I'm longing for the day that I can place my fingers in his nail-pierced hands, because honestly, I've considered quitting, but where will I go? Back? There's no home for the living in the land of the dead, so I keep pressing forward. Today I have faith, but I can't make any promises about tomorrow. I'm surprised I've held on this long. God, just make me feel like I'm not crazy. God, let me know that I'm not just making friends with these walls. When I pray, I'm not questioning you. I just got questions. Don't leave me here. Don't leave me. My child, when it seems like you have all the right questions, but never enough answers, and your faith is small enough to fit in the cracks of your palms, I told you, faith the size of mustard seeds can rearrange whole landscapes and turn mountains into open highways. Faith comes by my word, so maybe you've cuffed your ears. My child, don't be childish. But consider the child whose faith has not quite learned the definition of impossible. Have your questions. I'm not telling you to have a blind faith. I'm telling you to consider the blind men who had faith and believed my words before they were even able to see me. Consider the birds that eat from my hand and do not fall from the sky without my consent. So how much more will I love the ones that I died for? Before you doubt me, doubt your doubts. Doubt your doubts, and you will see they are just as empty as the tomb that I walked from. Truth is, you know I'm here. You know my truth, and you're scared. Scared of what that means. Scared of what that should cost you. that one day they will all laugh you right out of their classrooms and scorn you out of their courtrooms. But my love serves as an eviction notice to anxiety. When they cast stones, my love casts out fear. I am the author and finisher of your faith. I've never started a work that I will not finish. I am the one who will give you courage to stare death in the face and say, how dare you try to scare me? I know who I belong to. And when it feels like you are drowning, when it feels like you are drowning in a sea of your questions, just know I'm there. I'm there. Like when I drowned in the Red Sea of my blood for you, and these hands that took holes will hold you. And when I told you that I would love you forever, I meant it. Don't you see these rings in my hands? See, we are married. For better or for worse, through sickness and in health, through faith and through questions, till death brings us closer, you are mine. You are mine, and I am yours, I promise.
Wow.
I'm an orange moon. I'm an orange moon, reflecting the light of the sun. Thank you. than before, brighter. Reflecting the light of the moon.